Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Queen Bai Theology Talk. I am your host, Queen Bai, alongside my co-host, Mr. Hakim Nuba.
Hey, 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 Peace Queen. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Busy, busy day, but I'm here. Whew. I mean, this is the end of my day. When this show ends, so this is my day. So this is the last task. So I guess I saved the best is for last. And bars. So how's your day going?
Oh, it was okay. We did a training classes for census, the 2020 census. We did a training class out here in my service area for census supervisors. So therefore, that is indication that everything is running back and on track as far as getting the census, you know, the numbers in. In a couple of weeks, it's the numerators, and that's the last. Well, that's next to the last phase. So Everybody's census forms will be done, whether they did it. Which I am proud of the counties that we service because we have almost a 70%. Self-response rate
nice. For
the census. So, and in my county alone, is the highest within the area that we service, which we have four counties. One of the counties, we do a small part of Essex County and small part of Bergen County, but the other counties such as Hunterdon and Morris numbers are good. And this is what I try to tell people. When you look at your community and you live in an inner city and you start talking about how they don't care about us, look at our streets, look at our schools and this and that and the third, just know partly some of that is from the census. And that's why is certain things, and I say partly it's from the census because I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that it's 100% responsible for their community being the way that it is, which we're going to touch base on some of those things tonight. That's why when you go certain street, look at the streets, how they're taken care of, what kind of, you know, things your child schools and stuff have. It's simply some of the funding for education and businesses and stuff like that comes from the census. And our response rate is high. And unfortunately, Essex County, where I'm originally from, have one of the lowest counties in New Jersey for response rate.
That's what's up.
I push it everywhere I go. People want to argue down about the census because they think everything is conspiracy theory until their kids don't have no books or funding for their school. And then they got to find somebody else to try to blame. That's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability, yeah. People. But, yeah, we did a class today. And I love I love hiring people. You know, I love...
Yeah.
The whole process of it.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen I've seen good things happen in a lot of states and a lot of towns that were underserved, underfunded, that the turnaround was due to money that came in due to census. You know, it's important because that was one of the tools that the Republicans used against Democrats all over the country. Black folks don't fill out census. So now the Republicans that sits in your state capitol can go, hey, we thought there was 4 million blacks over there, but it's not. It's only 1.5. So guess what? We only need one or two representatives. So guess what happens? Instead of having four Democrats cover you, you only got one or two covering your location. So now we're talking about redistricting, and we're talking about gerrymandering. So what happens? There will be more Republicans in control because they'll outnumber the Democrats. And then you're wondering why you're getting fucked over on every damn thing. So, but yeah, your job is important. The Census Bureau is important. I know a lot of folks got their conspiracies and all that, but they don't know jack shit about jack shit. So fuck them. I'm sorry. Did I start off already with the fuck yous? God damn. We ain't even 10 minutes in the show. I'm already with the fuck yous. So, okay.
We had a
good day. Let's get back to positive.
I had an experience Friday, actually. Thursday. Yeah, Friday, because I remember telling him I was going to be in on Saturday. And it was a guy trying to fill out his application. And he was an older guy, retired, a veteran. You know, a lot of people, when they retire, they're so used to working, they just want to get back and do something. And it's a cool part-time job. He was trying. And, you know, he's older, so he doesn't have that much experience with computers. He said he spoke to four people over the past week, and he just was bouncing them around. Do you know I sat on the phone with that man for an hour for him to fill out his application? I sat on that phone with him. Anytime, just based on him, whatever error message he was getting, he must have had some type of security blockage on his computer, because when he would click on a link, it wouldn't necessarily open. It would give him all these type of options and permission and stuff like that. So I physically emailed him the link for him to just click on, and I went page and page, and every time he would mess up, and it would close out, and I would be like, listen, we get it 2:30. So we're going to start over. We're going to keep getting it done until we figure it out. And he got it done. He said he couldn't believe I stayed on the phone with him all that time, because some people don't have the patience. But if it's my job to, of course I went over and beyond my job, but I take pride in being able to help people in any way that I can. As everyone knows, that's part of my brand. And when you have a brand, you are supposed to live by it. You know?
Exactly. And see, what you did is exactly what we're going to talk about today.
It's that, my co-workers is like, are you crazy? I'm like, no, I'm doing what I would hope that someone would have done if my grandmother get to a certain age, or my mother, or, you know, the elderly in my family. I would hope somebody would have patience to help them get it done. I mean, you're on the clock. It's not like it was prohibiting me from doing anything else. I'm a supervisor. I sign work. I supervise. And so I have to lead by example as well.
Well,
Tim said this is what we're going to be talking about today. We're talking about leadership. It's Talk Tuesday. We're going to be discussing the importance of Black leadership and why it's so important for the Black community to have its own leaders throughout the public and private sectors, and why is it so important to support them. We're going to answer some questions that were sent in. And you know, he's always interacting with us by calling in 929-477-1436. Don't forget to press 1 on your telephone keypad, or continue to interact with us on our social media page. But, yes, I know we touched base a couple of weeks, maybe a few weeks ago, when we was talking about, you know, the riots and the protesting and stuff like that. We just talked about accountability and leadership, and actually being in for the cause. So, Hakim, you know, brought it to my attention, and I completely 100% agree that this is something that we need to talk about in more in depth. So, that's what this show is for.
Believe it or not, there are folks all over the country who are having this conversation across various forms of media, celestial radio, satellite radio, podcasting, virtual chat sessions. I'm invited to one a little later tonight that I'm not sure I'm going to speak on, but it's going on in Chicago, and they wanted some Philly people to talk in, you know. So ultimately, when we sit back and we think about all the things that are going wrong outside and inside of the Black community, it's a big thing. It's a big task to undertake mentally. But the one thing, because it's easy to talk about the things we don't have. We know what we have. That $1 trillion spending power, we have that. Some of us forget that. But one of the many things in the list of have-nots is leadership. Now, that's not a knock to those who are going out there every day and busting their ass and trying to bring people together and set agendas and come up with ways to network together, get this money together, build some properties together, investment, divestment. If there are people out there on the ground doing some things, and we're not here to we're not here to bash, we're not here to say that you're not out there doing that. It's just not enough of you. There's not enough of you out there in the community. There's not enough of you in the medical field. There's not enough of you in broadcasting, doing what we're doing. Okay? We don't wait for Black History Month. When we're sitting back, going back and forth, and I go, Queen, what you want to talk about? And I'm going, hey, I got some ideas. There's some Black in it. Almost every damn show. There's some Black in it.
Mm-hmm.
What can we talk about that someone can listen to, get inspired, and go take it out to their community and do some great things with it? So we just need more leaders. We need more leaders on the radio. We need more leaders in the lawyer's office, lawyer's offices all over the country, who are willing to step up and do some pro bono work to help the disenfranchised. That's going on in their hoods that they grew up from. We need some more leaders doing podcasts, talking about things who may have a bigger audience than us. We're talking about things that's going to inspire the youth. So, right off the bat, Queen, what is leadership to you from the Queen's perspective?
Leadership is being in a position where you're able to not only live a certain type of way and be a part in the cause, but also being able to bring other people aboard and guide them the correct way. It's all about being organized. Being a good leader also, you have to be able to see each person as a part of that cause and see what they can bring and offer to that call, because certain things is not for everybody. You know, like we was talking about, some people are going out there protesting. Some people are using their podcast. You know, some people, you know, are reaching out to the higher up and bringing the cause, you know, awareness to the cause. Or, which we need more of, people in our community that's reaching out and mentoring our youth. You know, and figuring out what we need to do for our community and how we're going to get it done. So being a leader, mm-hmm. you have to be able to know what people's strong suits are and what they have to offer when they may not even know. You have to be able to observe. You have to know the ins and outs, the rules, you know, how to do things the right way. You have to be able to bring people on your team that also can help you get to the place where you have to go, because we don't know everything. So if you know you need help mm-hmm. in a certain area, as a leader, you have to go get that person that's able to fulfill that duty and bring them aboard, making sure that everything, you know, is going in the direction it should. That's not going to hinder what you're trying to do. Like we were talking about the protesters. If you're going to put a protest together, make sure those people know this is what the cause is. If you're for it, work them aboard. But if you're going to do something and start writing or making it violent, then, oh, you got to go. Y'all got to be able to check people. You know, when people start having their own agenda. And so that's what it is for me. That's when I think of leadership, I think of all those things, because you have to be a person of many hats. You have to be determined. It has to be, you have to live that call. You have to live that movement that you're being a part of. It has to be like your business, your baby, you know, because mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be you go out there one time and say, oh, this is what we need. You got to be able to fight the fight. So you got to be dedicated to it. So.
Yeah, you covered it, and it's, you know, for me it's being that engine. It is being that driving force. You're either pulling the crew, pushing the crew, cheering the crew, educating the crew, teaching the crew, like you, what you did today. You showed a room full of people this is what you should be doing. Yes, it takes a lot more time. You know, the thing you described at work. You know, it's about able to step out of your comfort zone, take control of a situation, and make sure that the situation is handled in a way that's beneficial to the person that you're serving. And anyone, you know, anyone who had a problem with that isn't leadership material. They're not leadership quality. Everyone's not meant to lead. As a business consultant, one of the things I do is I don't just come in and tell you all the shit that's messed up with your business. I just don't come in and tell you, hey, this is what I think you should do. I try to, especially when I know a person's history and I know what they've done in their past, so I'm able to evaluate, okay, this is new for them. I'm going to train you to be a good CEO. I'm going to train you on how to handle certain things, because part of being a CEO and the head of a business is you have to think with multiple hats on. Like I say, your crown mm-hmm. carries multiple jewels on it. So you have to be able to spin it and address each jewel at each given moment. So when you make a decision, it has to be taking care of this customer, setting precedence for your team, setting precedence for your product, setting precedence for the community and the people who are watching, because they want to make sure that when I come to Queen Vi or whoever about a problem with her product, I need to know that she's going to take care of me the same way she took care of that guy before me. So, and then there's the public relations of it all. How does the public see you? How are you covering and taking care of the problem? And you know, putting out good information to make not only you look good, but your team look good, your business look good, and your mission statement is justified because you're being a leader and you're carrying it through. So it you have to keep all the variables in mind when you're being a leader, because anybody can boss people around. Anybody can go and just start barking orders and pointing fingers, and anybody with a brain can do that in a pulse. It don't take much to be a boss. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's just cool as a rapper singing it, but in real life, it's one thing when someone's calling you a boss. It's another thing when you're calling yourself a boss. Two different things. So if you're running around calling yourself a boss when your team needs leadership and you see your money ain't coming in right, you see your product is being misjudged and miscategorized out in the business community, or if you're a leader of a church or a group and you're running around calling yourself a boss and your team is looking at you sideways and they've got the chattering and the gossip and the and all the other nonsense that comes with having large groups of people clustered together a few times a week. When you're dealing with people, you have to be precise, clear, and you got to know what the hell you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, you ask for help, because that, too, is part of leadership. Those of you who love Barack Obama, the first thing he said is, "I'm going to," he said, "well, you have no experience managing or running anything." He says, "Yeah, I know, but I'm going to grab a bunch of people who do, and I'm going to listen to them, and they're going to guide me." That's leadership. So before we get started, let's answer Lady Wren's question. She has the she gave us our first question of the night. Few minutes ago in the Reality Talk Network group on Facebook. If you're not a member, please go and join the group. We'll be happy to chit-chat and talk with you. She says, "My question, can y'all talk about leadership qualities and the different types of leaders?"
Yeah, I mean, you have... the one that we were talking, you know, we have the type that we were talking about where you get your, the people that's in your group, you can get their opinions of, you know, what's going on or what, let them put some input in it. You got some that's like dictators, you know, just do what I say, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the ones that are leaders, well, my type of leader, do as I do. You have to do as I say. You have to do as I do. You have the ones who want everybody's input to kind of improve on things, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You got the ones that want to groom you when you get in there to what they want you to be or what you need to, you know, how you need to do things. More like a coaching. You have some that's for self, that's not real leaders, but it's all in the interest of what they're trying to do. And you have some that's for the people. You know, that everything they move, every way they move and how they move and what they do is based on what the people want. I know you got something to add to that.
I like the things you said, because those things are real. you know, my favorite out of ones you mentioned are the coaches, because those are, coaches are is a fancy term for teachers. You know, leadership styles is you know you have the pace setters, you got the ones that have that long range vision. Who will watch, step in, say, "Yep, let me slow you down. This is how we do it." Okay, think call center. That person's on the phone. She's not talking right to the customer, so he's listening from his office. He comes out, and he taps her on the shoulder. Take a walk with me. He plays it back to the telemarketer or the customer service rep, and then he teaches her right on the spot. That's not how you handle it. You handle it this way. This is what you did wrong. And he sends her back out there. He listens, and guess what? She's straight for the rest of the day. He listens tomorrow. She's straight for the rest of that day. So that is a pace setter slash coach. You have to be able to, you know, you have to be able to straighten some things out. And then you got the authoritative. Authoritative sometimes gets confused with the bossy. No. The authoritative is that person in leadership that makes and enforces the bigger decisions. Okay? There's somebody somewhere. When you call a place and you don't like when that customer service rep gets on the phone and he don't say whatever, or you go to that store and that person behind the table or the counter is not saying what you want, what do you ask for? A manager, right? Okay, here comes this authoritative mm-hmm. figure that can approve some shit. Okay? So then you got the affiliated where the kind that can actually network with others, build coalitions. And there are people in leadership in every facet, whether it's a hospital, whether it's an organization, a food bank, a shelter. There's always in every team, every big organization, even small ones, there's always affiliative guy. That's the new guy I'm trying to be, because my hands are in a lot of pots, and it's like, okay, it's time to take all these goddamn pots and put them in one kitchen. There's all kinds of good shit cooking. You know, we got the goddamn chili on one end of under the kitchen. We got spaghetti at the other end. And in the middle, we got goddamn oxtails and shit. So it's time to start bringing all the ingredients together to build a network. The affiliative manager is that networking person. You need him, because if you don't have access to resources in your team or your organization, he's going to work with someone else to get you what you need. And he can only do that with some authority and say, hey, I got a deal with this guy and that guy, and we're going to come bring this and make this money together. But then you got the Democratic guy, the politician in every team, right? It's always that one that got to come in and smooth some shit over. Those are your public relations people, if you're in the business world or you're in the organization world or religious world or any world, okay? Look at that. You can go and you can look at the Jada and August Alsina situation. Her PR person had to come out and try to smooth the shit over. It didn't work, but she tried it. So, And at the end of the day, the Democratic leader of that scenario was Will, because he sat down and he articulated things and he listened and he gave, you know, he had to do what he had to do so everything can get resolved, because it's resolved on their end. It's just not resolved in the world because everybody's making jokes, but the people are taking this shit serious. They see his leadership in that situation. So, I'm glad you asked that question, Ren, because I was going to get to it, but you beat me to it. And everyone who's in a leadership position, whether it's in the business world, your personal life, or you're out there training kids, tutoring kids, everyone has their own technique. Figure out yours, hone that skill, master it, because guess what? That technique is going to determine the outcome of what you're putting your energy into. So if your job or you're out there doing free tutoring to kids who didn't do so well last year, let's be honest, but they got pushed through because of the pandemic, and you know come August, September, they ain't going to know jack shit. So you're helping them with reading, you're helping them with math on your own free time, and you got 4 or 5 kids a week, and they're relying on you. You're leading them. How you do
That's
it,
what
is your
about.
Technique? Yeah, your technique is going to determine how successful their, you know, things are for them. As far as the black community, let's switch gears for a second, Queen. What part from your you give your opinion, I'll give mine after. But what part of the black community do you think needs leadership the most?
What part? All of it.
Take a dart and throw it at the wall.
Right. Because first of all, it's ridiculous to what our children are being exposed to. Now, mind you, it's always been crime. It's always, you always had drug dealers. You always, had these violence and everything else. But back when I was younger, I swear, I remember I moved to a different part of North, and I walked past these guys that were standing on the corner all the time. In seventh grade, I did not know what they done. I did not know they were drug dealers. I didn't know what a freaking drug dealer was. Like, I didn't experience. I didn't see exchange or anything. When I got in high school and moved to another part, that's when I really seen it firsthand. So the things that are, the first issue is what's okay? What is in our community that's exposing, our children are being exposed to, that is becoming normalized? Things they shouldn't know. Everything is about sex, money, no matter how you make it, and in the street life. And at one point in time, those were things that people were supposed to be ashamed of, and now it's being glorified. So that's my number one issue, is things that's in a community that should not be allowed to be in our community and need to be pushed out of our community. Because your child should be able to walk to the store, your child should be able to walk to school without seeing, you drilling in your head, go to school, get an education so you can get a good job, But they have to walk past people who stand in the streets all day, pants sagging down, selling drugs, talking to girls with less than nothing on, in reality TV. It makes it hard for, especially when a child may not have so many role models or people within their community to push them in the right way. It's like a competition. Okay, this person gets up every day, go to work, tired, and repeat it all over again. And can't even do half the things they want to do, or is making the money and can't spend it on anything for themselves because it's all going into bills. Well, you got somebody that's standing on the corner, or, screwing somebody that's standing on the corner that's getting to live their quote-unquote best life. It's what our children are seeing, to what they think success is, what they think is having made it is. And so when we stop the crime in our community and make sure people are held accountable for their community, pick up in front of your house, pick up in front of your elderly neighbor's house. Everybody make it a good thing to get up and walk to school together. Have these kids learn the importance of education so they can check their friends when their friends is messing up in school. Because some of them don't have parents that care, or could barely take care of themselves. So that's when that group of friends are supposed to come together and help one another. When I was growing up, if it was we used to all do our homework together. Even in high school, we used to all do our homework together. And I wasn't doing nothing else until my homework was done. And if you want to sit here and do this homework, because we're not doing nothing until this homework is done. Or if you not trying to do what we came the group up to do, then you got to leave from the group. I'm going to try to coach you and talk you into doing what's right, but I can't make you. But we don't have a lot of that going on. That's why I said, where do I begin?
I mean, it's hard to pull one noodle out of a bowl of goddamn spaghetti. It's hard to choose one noodle, rather. But, I mean, for me, it's economics. Like, I, you know, sort of sort of brother I do work with, you know, he said, well, you know, it's a big, we're at war. Is the war big as hell? Pick a side. I said, I pick my side. I'm just figuring out, I pick my side, and I know where I'm standing in the war. And I'm smart enough to know, and I've been around the block a few times, to know that money, not just money, but the processing, where's it going? How's it getting there? Who's it getting to? Economics is the number one curse that we need strong leaders to come in and help lift off of our backs. If we focused on group economics and we had more brothers like Bob Law, more brothers like I got a thousand names in my head. Forgive me, I'm getting old. But if we had more brothers coming in who could create these group economic situations, and y'all heard me talk about it on the show in the past, getting a bunch of people together, investing in buying a house that's dilapidated on your block, that's all boarded up, that the crackheads and the rats and shit running in and out of there. If everybody in the neighborhood got together, everybody put up some hundreds or whatever, and just bought the thing, cleaned the thing, sold it and flipped it to a good family, then everybody get to walk away with a little investment property money. Doing little things like that. You know, I've seen some churches where some of the pastors running around who have a pimp daddy mentality, and then there's some who have an administrative mentality. And they're going, this church is doing good. It got money in the bank. The people of this church, this is a food desert. And if you don't know what a food desert is, that means there ain't a lot of stores and it ain't a lot of resources for the people in that area. So the church goes and they take a bunch of money and they buy a piece of land and they put a Save-A-Lot on it. They want to keep the costs low for the people who don't have a lot of money. Okay, anyone who knows that Save-A-Lot over there on Lehigh Avenue on the 20-somethings in Philly, that's owned by a church. So, okay, so they turned it into a for-profit. It's a wing of the church. But they did it because they needed to create something for the people of that neighborhood who aren't doing too well. So the Black and Latino community has a store they can go to and buy food for cheap. So it's stuff like that. Because think about how many jobs that just created around the year. And when you are making an investment on that kind of thing, you have to think around a year. You know, yeah, you walk in, you count every head, you're going to see 20 people maybe. But when those 20 people leave, another 20 comes. And then there's another 20 that's working at night to make sure shit's straight for the 20 that's coming in at 7 a.m. So you, and then when you look at the turnover, by the end of the year, you done probably you could have did a couple hundred people by the end of the year. So just think of how investments in your community, how it enriches lives. Because a person who just went to college or graduated high school, now that you did your school, whatever level you went to, you need work. And if we had a better economic structure in the Black community, there would be more places to work. We wouldn't have to go kissing anybody's ass because it's right here. Investing in Black schools, Black colleges, that's going to hire more Black teachers.
Mm-hmm.
More mom and pop businesses that's going to go and grab that little young boy who come in there and buy whatever, and, you know, he's 16 now. He needs summer work. Okay, you've been coming in since she was 10. You want to do a couple hours a day? I see the poppy stores in Southwest doing that. The one across the street from my mom and daddy house. They hire Black boys from the community to give them jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talked to him about it, he said, well, if they come in here and they don't have anything to do. So I figure if I give them a couple of hours, they won't turn to drugs. So, what a concept. Why ain't we doing that? Well, you know, we got enough issues. We need leaders to step in and teach the people who want to how to. Because once the people who want to learn how to, they will do. So, you know, this weekend I'm going to sit with my youngest son, his older brother, and all of his homies. They want to be rappers. They want to do all of this. They want to, you know, the drip, and they want to do all that. I'm going to teach them how to create online business that they can do together. Hell, Queen, you inspired me when we talk all the time about the business that your kids are starting. And I said, well, shit, I don't, what the hell am I going to leave these boys in mind? Well, I might as well get it started.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of leadership that we need in the community that's going to inspire others, invest, put money in the right directions that's going to turn money to more money, and that means more people are working. Because if you're going to send, what makes sense? Paying $40,000, $50,000 for your kid to go get a college education and go work somewhere for somebody that don't look like him, or do that $40,000, $50,000 education and come work in his own community to better his community,
right,
and still make the same amount of money. That's the kind of moves I'm trying to make, or I want to see made. We want to be competitive. Yeah. Build up these black businesses and be competitive with the white ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is. That's got to be the way it is.
I think one of the things that we all should be teaching our children and learning ourselves is entrepreneurship. Yes, you're going to have to get a job because you have to be able to fund your dreams to be able to do whatever you decide to do full time to be able to support yourself. But getting a job is a stepping stone. Entrepreneurship is everything. And what's your slogan, Hakim? Turn a dream or ideal or craft into a thriving business.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yep.
Just like the little girl down the street. Everybody want her to do their hair or their makeup or their lashes. Get that piece of paper and open up your own business and do it. And then open up your own shop, and then you can employ other people who was in your same position that likes to do hair and likes to do nails and eyelashes and makeup, and tell them, listen, go get that piece of paper, go get that cosmetology license, and I have a job for you.
Right.
People that's in a certain position to encourage others. If they know that it's some type of light at the end of the tunnel, they're more inclined to push through. Because some people think, oh, I go get an education, it's not going to do anything. Or, oh, I could just continue doing hair in my kitchen. I don't have to get this license. But then when if they realize how much more of a money-making opportunity and how much growth they can get, you know, by getting that license and getting a foot in the door in the business, and how much exposure they can get, then they'll do it differently.
Mm-hmm. Queen, we appear to have a caller who wants to share their voice with us. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. Great discussion tonight. Just wanted to chime in on the whole leadership thing. I think that having the top leaders kind of model doesn't work. It definitely doesn't work anymore. And I think we should try something new. Voting for someone and having them go sit in a chair in Washington, D.C. has not worked for us the way we thought it would work for us back in the day. We've tried it, and I think we've gotten the most we can out of it. I think it's time. You know, we've had innovation in a lot of things. One of the places where we as a people have not we haven't innovated in a lot of ways, but one of the ways we haven't innovated that we need innovation is in organization. We need a new way to organize. And there's been a lot of suggestions over the years by Neely Fuller and others to not have the what he calls the maximum leader. Why not have thousands of leaders? Why can't we all be a leader in our own right, anyone who can do something and help? You know, if you can help the cause and you can help with security or security planning or whatever, be a leader in your own right. If you're going to help on the legal front, then be a leader there. You're your own leader, and you may have 200 other leaders there with you helping. I think we should all be a leader in our own right and take responsibility. If somebody's a spokesperson, that doesn't mean that they're the maximum leader. That means they're a leader of their task, of their particular domain, right? And whatever position that they're playing. You know, it's like having a team and have everybody be the guys on the team that are on the floor, five of them, a basketball team, they're all leaders for their position. And I think that's something to look at, just a thought. But having the maximum leader or these leaders that sit up on high and is going to straighten everything out for us, that doesn't work.
Agreed. Queen?
I agree. It's a team effort. And a leader is supposed to be able to collaborate with other leaders for whatever cause it is, or whether it's a business. I like the example that you use as the basketball team. Everybody have their own role that they have to play, and they have to stand strong in that position that they play to be able to get the end result, a win. So I do agree. Hopefully more people will see things that way, so it won't be always a pissing contest, and people are so power hungry, you know, with the title, being able to have all that power and be able to, you know, like you said, sit high and be able to just give orders and be like, okay, this is what we're going to do, and everything is going to be safe, because it doesn't work that way, you know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the ideology is the leader. That way, no matter who's here, as long as you have the ideology, then you move then everything moves forward. So if the idea or the ideology is the leader, then you can move forward into the future without interruption if you're organized correctly.
Mm-hmm.
People can drop off, people can die, but everything keeps going. Why? Because the ideology is the leader, not a person.
Yes, mm-hmm. And that part right there is the most important part to leadership, because when the leader is pushing the ideology and the followers and the people of the organization, when the leader leaves, he passed the torch. The torch is passed, but the ideology stays the same. And I also agree with the idea of we have to get past this savior at the top concept, where we're going to vote one guy or put one guy at the head of everything and he's going to save the world. No, it doesn't work that way. Because relying on one guy puts us in a bad situation, because there's always going to be things and people like oligarchs who can persuade that one guy, where that 1% could sway that head guy to screw over the 99%. So what needs to be, like you said, and we're rocking with you, we need a lot of leaders on the ground, grassroots, in every industry. Shout out to the black doctors in Philly that came together that start figuring out ways how to get resources to the underfunded community who needed tests done. Shout out to the religious community who comes out when a kid gets shot and they circle the neighborhood or circle the school, and it's, you know, stuff like that. When we have a bunch of leaders who can all move in their own way, to support an initiative and everyone could come together, that leader at the top, he now sees power. So that's the one thing we didn't talk about, power. And when he sees that power, he knows who to listen to.
And we don't have to have, like I said, the one person at the top. That never really works anyway, because the more effective you are, the more they're in peril, right?
Yep.
They've always been able to take out that one person who's at the top. They can take that person out. What happens after that? Every time they take that person out, there's always years of just going through the wilderness trying to look for the same type of person.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, they took Brother Malcolm X out. How long have we been looking for another Malcolm X? I'm telling you. They take a Martin Luther King out. How long are you going to look for another Martin Luther King? Like, it just, that model just does not work for us. And I think as younger people, which I think both of you are younger than I am, I think as younger people, you need to think out of the box. Don't let us older people box you in with terms and you know, old words and ways of doing things, because it puts your mind in a box. Start thinking of the best way to do something and be as imaginative as you can, right?
Yes.
That's what's going to save everyone. It's you younger people using your imagination, not being boxed in, having your mind boxed in, but using your imagination to imagine a new system, a new way of doing things, have vision, right, and lead forward. You know, unfortunately, you can't really listen to us older because we haven't solved the problem. That's your evidence that you can't listen to everything that we say. Now, you can learn off of our mistakes that were done correctly, yes, but for the most part, you're going to have to figure out a lot of it in a new way forward.
Right. Well, you made some great points, and I think you just described, you just gave the true definition of being progressive. And being progressive, you can't be progressive without vision, without a strong imagination and the will to get the work done. So,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yep. And when you say progressive, think of your own meaning of progressive. Usually when you say progressive in the United States, there's a connotation to it. There's a leftist, you know, connotation. You can take that term and you can say, no, this has nothing to do with left, right, or anything. This is something new that we're coming up with.
You just want progress.
Into any of those categories.
Yeah, when you take the political mental projections out of it, you just want progress. You're not thinking about Republican, Democrat. You want to see this thing get done, or you want to see something get better, and you just be, you know, that's all it is. And people need to start thinking, like you said, out of the box. Because sometimes we, you know, we say we're woke, but like I say all the time, zombies got their eyes open too.
Yeah, absolutely. When you, back in the day, their AT&T, as you know it today, it was more of a monopoly way back in the day. I'm dating myself, a long time ago. And they used to have a part of it that was called Skunk Works. This was their, you know, their innovation lab of today, right? Today you have all these innovation labs in Silicon Valley. But back then, this was AT&T's thing, the Skunk Works, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, there was one department that was really, you know, coming up with new ideas and stuff like that. There was a department that didn't want, they were hiring smart people, but they didn't want anybody that knew anything about telecommunications. To join, even though they were a telecommunications, basically a telecommunications company, engineering company. So they were, I mean, or this part of it, Skunk Works, right? And the reason they didn't want anybody who knew anything about had been in the telecommunications business is because they wanted people with open minds. So if you get somebody who's very smart and they're in telecommunications, you try to come up with something new, they're going to say, well, no, you can't do that because operation systems are such and such and such and such. And most telecommunications companies, it works like this and that, whatever. They didn't want that. They wanted somebody to come up with something unique, and then they would figure out how to do it, not have people around telling you how you can't do it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Right?
That's an old technique. Yeah. It's an old technique.
So,
and,
So younger people have to think that same way. Don't get the old thinking. People, you can't do that because the legal system knows, you can't do this. No, think of imaginative ways to do something or what you want the end state to be, and then figure out a way to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Well, we appreciate you lending your voice. You made some great points, and we're about to wrap up. But if you want, yes, please. We're going to mute you, but if you can want to continue to listen, please do so. But we hope you call again.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the great discussion.
Thank you. What's your name again? Thank you, Patrick.
Patrick.
You have a great night, man.
You do the same.
I love when listeners call in.
I love when listeners
call in and have some great things to add to the discussion. I love it.
Well, I guess we need to give closing argument. We only have about 3 minutes anyway. So I'm glad we had this conversation, Quain, because and we need to do it again. I think we're going to be more targeted next time, leadership in a particular area, so we can it's time to start calling people out. It's time to start getting a little guerrilla with the marketing. You know, we need to start pointing to something that's wrong. And, you know, this was a broad conversation. We wanted to cover everything. But due to time restraints, of course, we can't do it. We'll be talking till midnight or even tomorrow midnight, trying to cover all the ills that's going on. But we definitely have to continue this conversation.
Yes, we're going to, so people, we are going to break this discussion down into different sections so we can cover everything that you guys want us to cover and that needs to be covered. So, but I'm telling you, time be flying. We be.
When we get
started, time is flying. But, I mean, we're going to continue to talk about these things because they need to be talked about. And so hopefully we're getting through to some people, and they're going to use this knowledge accordingly. But make sure you're following us on our social media pages. If you have any questions, continue to send them in. Any topics that you want to talk about, continue to send them in. Any last words, Hakim?
Let me get a couple quick shout-outs. First of all, shout-out to Ms. Dopus, who's listening in. Shout-out to Zio Styles, who's listening in. Shout-out to my man Mike. Shout-out to Ms. Cat. Shout-out to Lady Wren for her questions. I want to shout-out to Janet Jackson, who gave us a shout-out on her show last week. So we want to reciprocate.
Hey, Janet Jackson.
And I want everyone who's looking for work to go check out her her new business, ZuriInc.com. You can work from home, telecommunications, doing customer service work from home. And just apply, read the rules, regulations, and all the things you need to do to get started. So I promised her I'd do that drop since she allowed me to promote this network on hers, so we're good.
Okay, but I do want you to post the information on our page, the website.
Most definitely.
Okay. So thanks for everybody for tuning in. Thanks for your questions, our caller. Really enjoyed the show. Look forward to Therapy Thursday. We will keep you posted on what our discussion is going to be about. That concludes our show for tonight. Until next time, good night, everybody.
Peace, y'all.